deliberately so you could all read my shirt. Because today's theme is spirit and mission. And so I thought I'd better wear my not spirit shirt. Arguably, today, to me at least, is probably the second or third most important day in the Christian calendar. I mean, we should be throwing a party. This is Pentecost. This is the day of the... Everybody? Thank you. And we're going to read why it's the day of the Spirit. Now, you may remember George told us fairly recently that the early Christians, even before they called themselves Christians, still kept all the Jewish festivals and feasts, because they were Jewish, of course. Passover happens to be just Pentecost, 50 days before Pentecost. Pentecost wasn't named for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on the festival of Pentecost after Passover, 50 days. So let's read the exciting story that the kids already acted out for us. In Acts 2, the disciples had all gathered together for the Feast of Pentecost. And we'll start at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word and fill us with his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. She's totally, absolutely right. Appreciated that introduction that not only for ourselves, but you know, throughout this community and province, country, and around the world, Christians are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. However, before we get to that, I want to just offer a quick recap of last Sunday. Last Sunday was Ascension Sunday. It was a couple days before that. That was Ascension Day. But Jesus began his earthly ministry with this pronouncement. It's found in Mark 1, verse 15. He said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Ascension Sunday, is about celebrating how in the person of Jesus Christ there's been this meeting, call it this coming together of two different worlds, heaven and earth. And in Jesus, without any awkwardness, heaven and earth met and merged. In Jesus, we see a human being fully alive to the glory of God. Said in the early centuries of the life of the church that the glory of God is a person, a man, a woman, fully alive. And we see that in Jesus. Ascension Sunday is the declaration that the risen and exalted Jesus Christ is right now in the presence of God, in God's sphere, call that heaven. Jesus is the first one of the earth to be transformed into a fully alive human being. He's the new creation that is God's heart for all of us, for every person, a human being where the fullness of heaven and the fullness of earth come together. Now, let me take you to the illustration of the water slide. Because last week I used the water slide that I went on in Jamaica as an illustration, and this is a different water slide. I think this is actually one at a Disney resort, but it's the same kind of illustration, because the water slide itself is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ has brought in his person the heart of God for the world. That's the water slide, okay? And this is the great adventure of life that Jesus lived in his person. Heaven and earth coming together in his person, the gospel found in Jesus Christ. The water flowing down the slide is the Holy Spirit. And it's the water that gives us, as we go down the slide, the power to move. to flow. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us become more and more like Jesus, that heaven and earth merging, that fully alive human being. If there was no water, we'd be stuck at the top of the slide. But it's the fullness, the water of the Spirit flowing down there that helps us to move. On one side of the slide, one bank of the wall, you have what I talked about last Sunday, the book of the Spirit. And the Bible is God's true and trustworthy revelation. It's like the action manual, the action plan, the action book of God for what a fully alive human being looks like. The Bible shows us it's the final authority really in our lives, revealing the first fully alive, true, genuine human being, Jesus Christ, to us. On the other side of the slide, other bank of the slide, we have the the community of the Spirit, and that's really what I want to talk about this morning. And together we have the book of the Spirit and the community of the Spirit, and bank there, the Holy Spirit taking us down right into the bottom of the pool. Oh, what a ride that is, eh? Right down into the bottom of the pool, into the world that we live in, and we offer to the world in our lives, in word and deed, what a true and genuine human being actually is. We offer good news to our world. So today is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is really the corresponding. If on this hand you have Ascension Sunday, Jesus in God's sphere, heaven, as the first genuine, fully alive human being, and Pentecost Sunday is like the corresponding reality to Ascension Sunday, because on the one hand you have the risen and exalted Jesus Christ, the first true, genuine human being, and on the other side you have Pentecost, which is, it's the wildest thing that you could imagine. I mean, to think, here is Christ ascended, exalted in heaven as the, where heaven and earth are together without any awkwardness, embarrassment, and gracelessness. But here you have now Pentecost Sunday, this wild thing where the Spirit of the risen and exalted Christ is present in our sphere, earth, right here, right now, helping to create each one of us to become more and more like Christ, a person where heaven and earth meet and come together. I hope you can see that. Okay? These two spheres, Jesus in the sphere of heaven and the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in the sphere of earth, coming together so that we can be like Christ. You could call it the picture that I have up on the screen there. It's like a collision taking place. It's like an invasion of heaven coming to earth. And that's exactly what Pentecost Sunday is all about. Heaven and earth colliding, coming together in the lives of people, just like those folks that were sitting over in the chair, just like you and you and you, all of us here this morning. That part of the Lord's Prayer that we have, and we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done here on earth, in this sphere, the Spirit of Christ coming, so that here on earth as it is in heaven. In the Old Testament, the place of worship was the temple, and in the temple there was a designated place where heaven and earth overlapped. It was called the Holy of Holies. You could picture it. Think of this room on the screen as the living room in your place. And in the corner you have the fireplace. And it's in a nice corner, and you got a beautiful fireplace, and the fire is burning. You keep the that's a real fire. It's not a fake one. Not a gas fire. It's a real fire in there, and you keep that fire safe in that place in the corner. You enjoy it. Everyone is safe. You can relax. And that's like what the Holy of Holies was. It was a separate place from the rest of the temple, and only one person once a year got to go in there, where you had this overlap of heaven and earth. But I think it's also, and this is sad in a real way, it's sort of like a picture of the church in our day. Removed, you know, just to one safe place in the corner of our lives, call it a sacred, set-apart place. You could call it a church sanctuary, like we're in this morning, a safe place, a relaxing place. It's, after all, it's nice here. The children are well looked after. It's church. It's Sunday morning. But Pentecost Sunday really explodes that kind of notion of the church, where we can keep the dangerous fire of God's new creation enclosed and safe behind a screen, a glass enclosure within a fireplace, because no longer is the fire of God's creation to be found in one place, to be found in a temple accessed by only one person once a year, the chief priest. It's a new day. And God's doing a new thing. What happens is that the fire gets out, this dangerous fire of God that explodes every notion that we could imagine of what it means to live, countercultural to everything that we experience in this world. It comes out of the fire, and the fire begins to spread. Acts 2, Diane read this, Acts 2, verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them, you know, not just a special elite class, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is God's answer to the prayer that Jesus gave us as his disciples. You can think of Pentecost being on earth as it is in heaven. Think of the children, well, at least some of them that tried to become like a holy hurricane or a spiritual tornado. The Holy Spirit begins to announce to the world through us that Jesus is the one true Lord. Jesus is in charge of everything. You know, Jesus gave us a heads up of what this would look like to his disciples, this new day of where God is in charge of the world with heaven and earth coming together in himself. He prayed in John 17 and 18. He's praying to the Father, to God the Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. You know, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus. You don't have to be a disciple of Jesus to honor and respect his example of life. It was Mahatma Gandhi at the midpoint of the last century. He said this. He honored Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, and he said this: I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. And what Pentecost should mean is that for me, for you, for the church, that people in our communities have all the cause that they need to be able to say, you Christians were part of Knox Church. You are so like your Christ. As God the Father sent Jesus into the world, bringing heaven and earth together in his person, so Jesus is now sending you, sending us into the world so that through our lives people get to see, to taste, to know what it means to experience. They can see it in you and me. They can see it in this community of the Spirit here, what it means to see that heaven and earth have come together and God is in charge of the world. That word send, missio, the Latin there. You see, think of it like this. The fire is out of the fireplace. We're no longer in that safe place in the corner of the living room. We're no longer in that corner in the temple. No, the fire is out of there, and the fire is spreading. And the Latin word for how that fire spread, missio, it simply means mission. Think of the word missive. What's that word mean? It's a missive is simply a written message. It's a letter. And we're sent, you're sent, together we're sent as God's letter, God's missive to the world. We're God's letter to the world of what it means to be a true and genuine human being. We're the mission of God, the community of the Spirit. I can't remember the source for this quote, but it's been said that the church does not have a mission. The church is the mission. We're the missive. You're the mission of God to the world that we live in. The letter of God opened up for the world where you connect with it, however, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, your community, opened up for the world to see this incredible, wild, passionate, genuine, deep, real, beautiful, powerful reality of what it means to be fully alive, a genuine human being in whom heaven and earth have met and merged and come together. And we're sent by Jesus to show as the community of the Spirit this new creation of God, what it means, the world gets to see in us what it means for heaven and earth to come together. I really hope that you don't think, you're not tempted to think of the word missionary as a bad word. It's really quite a good word. All of us and all of us together are missionaries. We should never be, I never want to be hesitant to call and understand myself to be a missionary, because all that simply means is that I'm an ambassador. And together as a church, we're an ambassador of God's new creation. We're the representatives of Jesus, showing others that the will of God for them is that in their lives, heaven and earth would come together. That God wants to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to see in the lives of others heaven and earth coming together. And we're the ones who show others the missive, the ideal of heaven becoming the reality here on earth. It's like we're co-partners with God in His mission. And we're sent by God to share as the community of the Spirit God's gift of new life that's found in Christ. I think, you know, you can correct me. I welcome you to do that if I'm wrong here. But I think most people in the world get this. If you were to ask them, does earth need a little bit more of heaven? They'd likely say yes. I mean, the kind of world that we live in, it's broken, it's separated, it's disordered, it's disjointed. And our own lives and the lives of others, you know, bear ample testimony to how the sphere of heaven and the sphere of earth are separated. But we're sent by Jesus to share this message of how God is the one who takes that which is broken and heals it. He makes it whole. God is the one that takes that which is disorder and He reorders it. God is the one who takes that which is disjointed and He connects it. He connects the two, heaven and earth. I was in a gathering this past Wednesday, 16 of us meeting together, and one man, a friend of mine, retired pastor, I would think he's likely in his mid-70s, I'm guessing, but he's serving actively as a minister in an association in another Presbyterian church, and he told the story of how in their congregation a desperately lonely and insecure young man came to their church one Sunday, just out of the blue, just came in. And this young man had no faith background whatsoever. He had no real exposure to Jesus in his life, but he just felt like he needed to come to a church. So here's this young guy. Let's put him in his 20s, and here's this older gentleman. Let's put him in his middle 70s. And my friend struck up conversation with the younger man, and a friendship developed. And my friend began to mentor him. And over the course of the last year, this young man has read through the entire scripture, Genesis to Revelation, 3 times. And he's come alive. The fire has come out of the fireplace, you see. And his life is on fire now for Christ. You know the expression, I think I could, praise team, come on up to the front. I'm going to end with this. You know, it's always a dangerous thing when a preacher says he's going to end, because, you know, it could just go on and on. But no, I won't go on and on. The end is coming very imminently. But you know the expression that we're blessed to be a blessing. Well, I want to give you another angle on that this morning. How many of you would like to know the blessing of God in your life? Right? Some of you are nodding. That's the way you put up your hands. And some of you are putting up your hands, and that's the way you nod, right? I get it. I understand, right? You can nod. I didn't hear anyone say amen, but anyway, a hand or a nod, that works. It's not God's intention. Please get this. It's not the intention of God to bless you and then let you have a nice, cozy, relaxing life, enjoying the fireplace in the corner of the living room in your life, to compartmentalize your faith just to that one corner. God wants to let the fire out of the fireplace in your life. Your life, my life, our life together needs to be on mission with God, co-partnering with God, this wonderful message, good news of heaven and earth coming together in Jesus Christ. It's only then, as we're on mission with God, that we know the blessing of God. The only way, you want to be blessed, you nod it, you put your hand up, the only way to truly be blessed by God is to become like Jesus, more and more like Jesus, to become a blessing for the sake of others. You simply have to let God, the fire of God, out of the fireplace. You see, the Father sent the Son, John 17, the Father sent the Son to be a blessing, and then He blessed Him. And Jesus sends you, sends me, sends us to be a blessing. And as you go, as I go, as we go, we will be blessed by Christ to continue on being a blessing to others. So leave here this morning as we sing this concluding song, understanding, please, that on this Pentecost Sunday, you are the mission. You are the missive. You are the letter of God to your family, to your friends, to your neighborhood. You're God's letter. Just remember the water slide. You get to go down this water slide with all of the delight and joy and fullness that you can imagine. It's the ride of a life. On one side, you have the book of the Spirit. On the other side, you have the community of the Spirit. And this flow, the power of God, carries you along down this slide so that you can make a God kind of landing, a blessing kind of landing in the pool. And you can show to people who are drowning. Now, what do I mean by that? I simply mean people for whom heaven and earth are separated. You can make the kind of landing in the pool where they see heaven and earth coming together in your life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray, then we're going to sing.